The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein powered chicken bites.
Gary Breen is with us. Gary, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Where do you stand? Where are we at the moment? What are you taking from last night's performance?
I really enjoyed it. I felt it was a bold selection in terms of the fact that Duffy, Hendricks, Brady don't play. I really enjoyed the shape of the team. I was watching it, yeah, and I was thinking, I was actually talking back at the tape, that's brilliant, great shape. Even to the extent where Serbia, considered technically gifted players, were passing back to their goalkeeper, who was then having to hit it long. Even in situations and throw-ins, they were being forced just to throw that kind of, you know, that long, hopeful throw down the line. They weren't like kind of coming back out and playing because the setup was so good. And it looked well coached. It looked very disciplined in how we were doing it. There were different stages of it that I really liked, that initially the two strikers would split and then Alan Brown would just sit behind them. So that three, so they were literally encouraging the Serbians. They were literally saying, go on, I dare you. I dare to play those passes centrally. And they didn't have the confidence to do it. They kept coming back out, going back to their goalkeeper, as I said. And that was in and around their own area where, more often than not, over the years, we've seen us being so passive and let teams have a ball, let them get ahead of steam, get a nice feel for the game. But we didn't do that. Then when we had to go a bit further back, that system then changed a little bit where we had our back five in shape and we had a kind of a four box in midfield, and then the centre forward would hunt around and make it difficult. And they found it so hard to play through. So that was really encouraging. But yeah, to concede that goal just before half-time was the killer blow. It really was, because it seemed to knock the stuffing out of us. But more than anything, it really seemed to take the pressure off of Serbia, who I had identified that. I know lots of people had said that it was a bonus that there wasn't a home crowd. I always felt going into that game that it was a negative for us, because had they played that way with their crowd on the back of being knocked out of the playoffs to Scotland, I think that crowd would have churned. I think they would have struggled, those players, and I think we'd have been energised by it. So I was disappointed with it in terms of that. And obviously the second half plays out the way it does. And there are positives, of course they are, but I am acutely aware of the fact that it's another loss.
Well, let's deal with the negatives and finish up with the positives. So that the texts coming through are divided. There's two camps. There's one saying, I got to watch a team that I enjoyed playing last night, and the other one is very cold. The game is to play well now and qualify. Once again, we sucked into the positives for the future. That's from Patrick on YouTube this morning. I can understand that viewpoint. I can, because the game is to qualify for tournaments. And here we are, a game into the first qualifying campaign, first of this new campaign, and we've still got Portugal to play twice. So it's very unlikely we're going to qualify from this group now. But, I mean, it was kind of unlikely we were going to qualify from the group in the first place. So what do we want? What are we trying to achieve with Stephen Kenny?
Well, exactly. Because, I mean, so many people saying, let's write this competition off and bring these younger players. There's no guarantee. Listen, we talked about this young generation initially a year ago, and none of them have come to fruition in the way we thought they would have done in terms of consistency. It's been Knight and O'Shea, really, as opposed to Eder, Connolly, Malumbi, and who played very well last night, bearing in mind he's not getting his league football. And I made a big point of that I don't think the Ireland team is picked on your league form as such, sorry, your club form, whether or not you're playing well. But for young players like that in your formative years, he has to start playing club football, because we saw his ability and he's never let us down for Ireland. He looks a real attribute, Malumbi, but he has to start playing club football. And to kind of write off a tournament, which means everything to Ireland anyway, to get to major finals, of course it does, to suggest that, yeah, but in 4 years' time, these guys will be much better. Football doesn't work like that. We don't have the strength in depth to be able to cope with that in terms of bringing through 20 young players who can suddenly make a team. I don't agree with that. And I think, and I also don't understand why we can't play nice football and win games. I don't understand that. There seems to be an offset of, well, if we want to play nice football, we're not really going to win. Well, why? Why aren't we going to win? So I think there's lots of learning curves there. Young players will learn from it, I'm sure. But that was the pivotal game. Of course it was, because of the fact that we expect Portugal to be so dominant. But that's not to say let's write this competition off already. It's become a mountain to climb. Of course it has. But we should still be fighting to get there, as opposed to trying to create something in 4 or 5 years' time.
Is there an element of the system, Gary, that is to blame for Dusan Tadic playing really well yesterday. Is there something more that Stephen Kenny can be doing to nullify a very obvious threat in the opposition?
Well, Owen, he wasn't that influential. Listen, he's a very good player. I know we saw a lot of the dummies, the body swerves and stuff like that, but the setup was good. But having said that, it was at times against Slovakia. It certainly was in the opening 15 minutes against England. But then what changes is that these better players, the likes of Tadic and certainly with the English players with Mason Mount and Grealish, they work out where the space is. And that's what you have to learn, is that we're starting games well and we're looking very well coached and stuff like that. But then you can't hold the players' hands. They have to learn and sense danger themselves. And if I'm looking at that system that we played last night, I was really encouraged by it. I liked it. I did. But I could see straight away where there can be improvements in terms of the fact that I think a lot of the lads who are playing Championship football and certainly not playing the Premier League, and Alan Brown I thought was excellent. But there are times when the ball's on the other side of the pitch where it's nowhere really near him, and he's not the only one, and our players just don't get back into good enough positions early. It's as if they feel that, you know, in a Championship, and I've played in Championship, teams don't hurt you that way. But certainly at international level, they can be working and jabbing you in certain places of the pitch, but it's just to create an opening 40 or 50 yards on the other side of you. And I think we need to coach that a bit better. I think that will be done. I've no doubt it will be. But that penny needs to drop very quickly, because these players will work out where the space is. And Tadic did it brilliantly last night.
The first goal and the third goal are prevented if Ireland win a header. Like, I mean, the second goal, I mean, it's a young goalkeeper. It's a phenomenal finish from Mitrovic. But the first and the third one, Gary, from a centre-back's perspective, is there a more dominant showing from John Egan, perhaps, to win both of those headers, perhaps, you see down the line? Or how did you see those? Essentially, who's to blame here for those?
Well, the frustration for me, more than anything, in terms of, we talk about the creativity and the technical players in international football, Tadic and stuff like that, is that it wasn't a goal, that first goal that was played through the first. In fact, it was the type of goal that, as Premier League players, Championship players, we should be able to deal with. It was just a hopeful ball, wasn't it? That kind of chip up to Tadic, who gambles inside, wins a header against Kieran Clark, and the ball's quite flat. So people will say a dominant centre-half should be dealing with that. Yeah, they should be, but it does happen. O'Shea's body position, I've heard, you know, some of my former teammates saying he's in a bad body position. He's not, because if he actually, where his body shape is, where the head is inside him, Owen, if he actually turns that way and looks at what's happening, he's not going to see the player. So your natural position is to go there, look for the ball, but he's just done by a bit more pace. And if I was to coach Dara there in terms of the situation, I think certainly someone like Kenny Cunningham, who wasn't blessed with pace, never got himself level with players. He'd even make the decision that, okay, my other centre-half, if it was me or Richard Dunn, if they're going to compete for the ball and the other centre-forward is looking to run in behind, Kenny would make the decision, okay, I'll drop to bring him onto me and then I'd step him up offside. If he felt that a run was good enough that it was going to stay onside, which it was last night, then Dara's got to drop a little bit two yards just to give him that ability to see the situation in front and to react and not get beaten in for pace. But he's a young centre-half. He's going to learn those things, and I think he will get better for it. The third goal, people can talk about, and I've heard this, that Shane Duffy wouldn't have been beaten the way Clark was. Mitrovic has got up so early, Owen, that I don't care if you're the best centre-half in the world at jumping. If the centre-forward gets up early and leans into you, you can't jump. Now, people will say, well, it wouldn't happen to Duffy. It has happened to Duffy. We saw Maguire dominate him for the goal for England. I've seen players do it to him. And as good as he is, it can happen. So they're the frustrations. They're the fine lines. And this is the difference when you're playing at elite level, is that when you don't get those things right, you'll be punished and you'll lose the game.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the positives then, Gary. What are you going to take away from that and say there's something there that we're building on? Like you mentioned Dara O'Shea. Phil was on a little bit earlier on talking about O'Shea picking the ball up very early on. Being very brave with a pass out. And it was like, well, this is a kid's essentially first full start in a big competitive game like this. And he's like, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah. Well, he can, but Jerry, he can do it because you've been doing it for the 21s. And it's not a case of him having to be really brave to do it. It's within his skill set. He can do it. And I loved a couple of occasions where he got the ball, big switches of play to the left, then again to the right. And it just unnerves the opposition because they think they want to flood the Ireland defence because they've probably done a bit of homework and think, listen, if you do that to Ireland, they can't pass through. They can't get out of the press. he done it brilliantly. And I really enjoyed seeing that. There was one occasion in the first half as well where he got the ball, fired it into Malumbi. Malumbi gets on a half turn, drives forward, passes it out to Doherty. And suddenly, within two passes, we're in the final third. Doherty gives a ball away cheaply, but it was so encouraging that, and I really enjoyed it. Flip side of that as well, Jerry, is that we didn't do it every time, because if you do it every time, the opportunities just go, okay, they're going to do it. They get right on top of you and they narrow the passing channels that you want to try and play for. A couple of times we went long, we varied it, and you have to do that. It's all well and good saying about philosophy, and you can have this ideal that you've worked on in the classroom and in coaching courses, but the reality is very different. And I felt we'd done it really well.
I think that kind of speaks to one of the big questions about Stephen Kenny from the very start here. And there's been this kind of, I don't know how much attention you've been paying to the bizarre campaign of leaks that have been coming about, unhappiness. And then Seamus Coleman nailed them in the press conference 2 days ago and put in a performance. And the team put in a performance that was clearly, as you've said, well coached. It strikes me that all of those question marks that people rightly have about a new international manager, not all of them, but the vast majority of them have been answered. This is a team who is well coached, who has an idea of what they're trying to do, who are progressive and who are playing close enough to what you would expect that group of players to play. That's what you want from your international team. I mean, obviously a win would be brilliant, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's no significant issues around the management that we can point to and say, well, they're not doing their job, they haven't done their research, they haven't coached the team properly, they've balled up the selection, it's all a bit chaotic. There's no sign of that now.
No, there's no sign of... I certainly agree with that. And when I talked about how we were set up defensively, and I don't mean just the defence, I mean offensively in terms of stopping the opposition playing through, it was well coached and it was well executed. Now, the quality of players are always going to try and pick holes in it. That's the nature of it at international football. But it was in stark contrast to... having 10 men behind the ball, camped on our edge of our box, last-ditch tackles. Now there is an argument, Jer, because people will say, well, hold on a minute. We didn't concede three goals when we played that way. We won in Austria. We won in Wales. We had positive results. And now I've always said that you would be hard-pressed, even with the most expansive, brilliant footballing team, to kind of mirror some of the results that we did get away from home under Martin O'Neill. So for people who are still supportive of him, that's the argument, and it's always going to be the argument as long as we don't win games. Now, you said there it'd be great to have a win, but for me, Jed, there's no but. We have to win games. You know, I think Serbia are a talented group. I think they were very complacent in terms of their team selection, that they left some of their better players rested, what appears to be, for the game against Portugal, and they nearly got found out by it. At the time, I was thinking, I hope you really do. Mm. But again, you said about but is a very big but. We have to win games.
Yeah, that would have been unbelievably satisfying had Ireland actually got the job done, and you would have saw like Milinkovic, Savic and boys on the bench. Like Gary, when it comes to maybe the immediate comparisons between the last campaign, certainly one of my frustrations would have been the performance away to Georgia, for example, that games that Ireland, you would have felt, should have been winning because of the way they were approaching the games, maybe they actually couldn't get over the line. Is there a sense that this style of football now gives them a better opportunity to get 12 points out of Azerbaijan and Luxembourg and those four games?
Yeah, they have to, and that is the hope. And I agree with you, Owen, in terms of... I couldn't catch my breath when I saw Georgia dominating possession against us at Lansdowne that time. In one of the previous campaigns, and you're right, and people think, well, you know, the better teams dominate us. Well, the lesser teams were dominating us back then because of how passive we were in terms of pressing in that front part of the pitch, and then what we were looking to do in the midfield, and then the reaction to it defensively. I really liked it. I agree with you. But I think football has gone that way anyway. I don't think it's just a situation just akin to Ireland. I think we were probably late to the party in terms of how we wanted to play. And I didn't believe that we couldn't play that. I've never believed that. I've never believed that if you can't coach players, I think we've seen it with Manchester City. You're coaching the best players in the world and they're becoming better. So why would we think that, you know, just because we got lesser players, you can't coach them better? You can. And I think we've seen an indication of that. I like the three at the back system because of the fact that I think it gives you that extra centre half. I think there was a number of occasions where Seamus came over and covered well when forwards got down the side of us. I like the fact that the wing backs are there. But ultimately, I like the fact that it gives you an offensive threat. And there was a couple of occasions where we set the trap, the ball goes into midfield, we nick it, and from there, Owen, five players are sprinting forward with real pace, real verve, real energy. And it was so unsettling for the Serbians. They were like, oh, wow, I'm not playing that risky pass in there anymore because this team breaks at pace. And it must have been so different to what they had been coached or certainly told about this Irish team, and certainly maybe very different to what they experienced, what is it, 5 years ago in that 2-2 draw. But they were the things that I thought, oh, brilliant. The goal was, I mean, it was a brilliant goal. It really was. The header was sensational. The fact that the cross was stood up there. So I think it's an obvious thought process to say, well, listen, if we're playing against lesser quality, like you've just identified those two teams, we should be winning comfortably. And I think that is it. And that's the challenge. And that's the pressure as well, because we'll all expect that now.
It sounds like you're a fan of the back three / back five, and you will be keeping it for this weekend.
Well, listen, I'm not a fan. I really don't nail my colours to any mast in terms of what system you play. I hope I've been consistent in this. I just want it coached well. And I could see straight away that was coached well. Now, everyone will say, well, how did he do that within a couple of days? You can do it. If you've got good coaches, it's easy to get it. I'll say it's relatively easy to get the message across. You do it in different ways. You might not have time on a training field, but you do it away from in terms of videos. You talk things through. You explain situations to them. And there's a lot of players there that know the trigger points anyway in terms of playing that way for their club. So it does add up that, you know, they were going to do well with it. And I liked it. I did like it. I think it covers a couple of the vulnerabilities we have at times. I think it does. And certainly, I think it gives us more of a foothold going forward as well.
The concern, obviously, that people have rightly had is that Ireland don't have a goal scorer at the moment. Now, two goals last night. Do you look at either of those and think to yourself, there is something here that is being well coached and is a product of the system that is going to produce more goals as this campaign goes on?
I do certainly, as I said there, and I think it's very noticeable that on the occasions we got in and around the box, we could have had four or five players in a box. Now, if you look back over the last 3 or 4 years, there have been times where whoever was up front was so isolated to the extent I said, I don't think Robbie Keane could score in that goal in his heyday, because everyone talks about Robbie as our greatest goal scorer, and he was, there's no doubt about it. But Robbie Keane wasn't picking the ball up at left back and beating 10 players like Messi and bending it in the top corner. He was on the end of chances that the team had created. Listen, he was a great finisher. Of course he was. But I think that's the remit now, that this team creates chances for whoever are in those offensive positions to score goals. Now, we saw it with Brown getting in the box. And I mean, I liked him. I really did. I like the fact that he has that energy, that strength to get forward into those attacking positions. But I like the fact that he can drop back into midfield and just thicken us up a little bit there, because of the fact that top teams can pass and find pockets in that midfield. And I think if you just have one or two, you can get outgunned in there. So, yeah, lots of positives. I really do think that. But I am aware, and it's not my heart rule in my head, I'm aware that this is 9 games now without a win.
Yeah, like it's interesting that Alan Brown is almost picked out as one of the most threatening players for Ireland. And I hate to go back to the Conor Hourihan chance against Slovakia for the millionth time, but it is interesting that it's players arriving late to the box that seems to be their biggest threat almost.
Yeah, well, I mean, even in McGoldrick's time, it wasn't a case of McGoldrick running across the near post against centre-half, was it? It was more often than not him dropping into 10 and then people running in behind him. So I think that is something that we need to address. Connolly up front, Robinson, they give you that mobility, certainly. Got a little bit frustrated with Aaron at times, though, because there was a ball early on in that first half. It's a lovely ball played down the side by Malumbi, and he didn't chase it. It wasn't going out of play. It was always going to make the goalkeeper or the centre-half have to make a decision, which we saw with a minute to go in the game, that mistakes can happen. And he's looking back at Malumbi, I think, was a pass, and throwing his arms up. And I'm thinking, just run around you. And that's what you want from me. I want that kind of attitude that he's got within his game, but I still want him to be chasing down things there. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed.
So on balance, it's more positive than negative, Gary.
It is, Jer. It is. Of course it is. And I always want to be that way. I've always said that in the difficult times now, I want to be supportive of this manager. And prior to the game, Jer, I was saying, I asked Vinnie Perth when I was speaking to him the other day with Joe, what is Stephen Kenny going to do now? Because there was a suggestion that he's got to go more pragmatic because of the fact that he's got to get through these troubled waters, navigate a path through there and not be like looking to play football in around his own box with this idealistic philosophy, whatever, because it's not realistic. So I asked him the question, would he stay true to his beliefs? And he did. I felt he did last night. And I was delighted with that, because I think if you suddenly start throwing out your beliefs, those players straight away go, hold on a minute. Well, if you don't believe it, how are we going to believe it? And I think there was certainly murmurings of discontent within the supporters, but it can't be within the changing room. And I felt last night that they believed in what they were doing. I believe that they do feel as a group of players that they're on the cusp of something. And I've been in this situation before, Jer, where you think, you know, something's about to happen. Now, the results might totally dismiss that, where you're thinking, well, that don't make sense. But you feel something is about to happen. Now, they're talking about that their confidence is high. And we can say, well, listen, on the back of 8 games without a win prior to this one, how can it be? But it can be, because I think they do believe in what they're trying to achieve. But they've got to start winning games.
Hopefully the first one comes on Saturday. Gary, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Thanks, lads. Good luck.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.